That was beautiful. Thank you, brother. Well, I hope you guys are ready this morning. I've really tuned my message down. You know, normally I have about 3 or 4 points that I like to share with you before I end the message. Well, today I think I've got 9. So just hang on, okay? I'm so thankful that you're here. Thank you for being here. These are tough days that we're living in. The last few days, we've had 3 friends to pass, 1 acquaintance to pass, and was told Saturday morning another had been put on life support. It's tough. Longtime friends that love the Lord. And now they're in his presence with family left behind. It's not a good days that we live in. This morning I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some things that I think we all, you know, we've been doing this series on God. This may or may not be the last message on him. If it's not on him, it'll be a different thing about him next week. Take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16:25 is where we'll be. I hope you guys have your Bibles with you. Bring your Bibles to church with you. Carry your Bibles wherever you go. A lot of us have smartphones. Mine's smarter than me anyway, and it does have some Bibles on it that I can carry with me. It's back like the recliner I used to have. I named that recliner the Word so that when I was in it resting and got a phone call, one that could say, well, he's tied up in the Word right now, so... You know, this is the Word of God. And I want to do some things this morning. Let's stand, honor him. Remember, man will lie to you. They will deceive you. They will tell you things that's not true. Matter of fact, they will lead us astray is what man will do. But God is always faithful. His Word never changes, so we can put stock in that. Verse number 25 of 1 Chronicles 16. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, and the world is established. It will never be moved. Father, thank you for your word. In these few verses, as it speaks of your glory, and causes us to praise the Lord. You are worthy of praise. The scripture says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Lord, you've not intended for one moment that blasphemy would come from the lips of those that you created to be the image of God. I pray, Lord, that you would forgive us of our sins. Those things that are intentional, I pray, Lord, you give us the strength to avoid them next time. And those things, Lord, that we've done that we're not even aware of doing, we pray you'd forgive us as we walk with Christ. We pray this morning, Lord, I'm going to need you to intervene in this message. So from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, I pray you'd anoint me. Lord, I pray that you'd give me the power and authority to speak as never before. I pray I'd preach this message today as a dying man to dying people. People that need the Lord. So, Lord, I just pray the Holy Spirit to have free reign, that he might work in the hearts and the lives of the people that are here. Those that know you, may they be encouraged and lifted up. May they be strengthened today. May they find their glory in you. And, Lord, I pray if there's some here that's lost and undone, never been born into the kingdom of God, I pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit would do that perfect work that only you're able to do, because it's impossible for man. It is possible with you. Have your way this morning, and may you be glorified in all that's said and done. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You can be seated. I like this little verse here that says that, for great is the Lord and worthy to be praised. I just think that we as Christians don't do enough of praising God. I think we've got too proud, if you would. I think we've got to the place where we don't want someone to think that we're fanatical. We've got to the place where maybe we don't even have a relationship with Him to praise them about. Churches are filled. Listen, I've heard it said before, and you have too, that the churches is filled with the largest mission field in the world. I heard Bailey Smith say that one time, that the churches are filled with the largest mission field anywhere. I think we've drawn pictures of God and we've made Him out to be something that He's really not. We've made Him out to be our God. Our God, not the God of glory. Okay, there's a difference in that. Because He says here that all other gods of the people are worthless. What He's saying, whatever you got before me is worthless to you. Whatever it is that you're focusing your life on, if it's not me, it's worthless to you. That I am the one that is worthy of praise. And therefore, since I am the one worthy of praise, and I'm the only God, I'm the God who created the heavens and the earth and all that is within them, anything else is worthless. And we sometimes get so focused on how do we make God out to be to fit our sinfulness. You ever thought about that? We sometimes, because of sin and because of the decay of man, we make God out and paint a picture of Him of something that He is not. Not even resembles God at all. But if we got in our minds and in our hearts who God is, and we've talked about that through four or five messages. So if we think about who God is and focus on who He is and take it from what the Word of God says, then we've got something to stand on. We've got a God that is true, that's real, that's alive, that is able to do whatever we ask Him to do. Matter of fact, He can do far more than we could even think for Him to do. That's the God worthy of praise. C.S. Lewis said one time in a book, he said that, asked the question of a little boy, what is God like? And C.S. Lewis wrote, let me say this, I'll get it right. God is the sort of person who is always snooping around to see if anyone is enjoying himself and then trying to stop it. That's about the way we think about God, isn't it? That instead of Him being a loving God, that He is a God that is looking if we're enjoying life. And if we are, to try to... That's not the God of glory. The God of glory has made us to bear His image. That this world... If the world don't see God in us, they won't see it. Because we are the image bearers of God. He said, let us create man in our image. The way that we handle things, the way that people see us, should be that the attributes of who God is. And I know that's hard because we live in a fallen nature here. This whole world is in a mess. Our bodies, our souls are distressed right now, waiting for the coming of the Lord. So, C.S. Lewis had a pretty good idea. What God is really like, the scriptures just paint a beautiful picture of it. Have you ever noticed that when you read a book and in your mind it paints just a beautiful imagery of whatever that book's about? Would everybody agree with that? In your mind, you've got it drawn out like a movie. And our vision ability in our minds is so vivid, so real, that a Hollywood producer, director could not even make a movie that's even close to what our minds can carry us to. You've heard it said that a book will carry us to places we've never been or never will go. It'll show us things that we would never even realize. Well, that's the way this book is here, the Word of God. It paints some beautiful pictures of who Jesus is. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the bread of life. He's the water of life. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the great and morning star. He's the God of all glory. He's the God of creation. He's the God of salvation. He's the God of redemption. He's the God of everything. And in Him, He's worthy of praise. But us Baptists have got where we can't do it anymore. We just can't do it anymore. So I want to draw some pictures for you this morning, if I can. I'm not a word crafter, so I might not do as good a job as some might could. But I want us to talk about God. I want us to see Him as what He is for us. And I'm just going to touch the rim of it. We're not good in deep water. All we got, we're still skipping a rock across the lake in what we're going to talk about today. Because how do you describe one who is so mighty, so great, that He can vary from His mouth, speak, let there be light, and there be light. And then all He has to do is speak, separate the light and the darkness. Put in the stars in space and naming them as they went. You might think God don't know your name, but He knows the name of every star there is. God is a God who is worthy of praise. So, what is He like? I sat there this morning about 5:30. And I was going back through my message. And I've got a part in here I share with you. But as I sat there this morning, I sat there with my eyes so clouded with tears. I thought to myself, He's worthy of praise. I just begin to think about Him and begin to think about my sinfulness and begin to think about the condition of this world and to begin to think about even how Christians think about God, and it began to break my heart. And I sat there and the tears. Ran down my face. And I thought to myself, God, let me paint a picture of You. Of who You are. And how we can count on You. How we can trust You. How we can humble ourselves before You. First of all, I want us to look at the images of God. What is He like? How can we describe Him? How do we know who He is? How do we know when He speaks to us? Can I tell you guys something? I'm not going here off on a deep end. I'm not going off here on something crazy. But I want to tell you a reality of who God is. He is a God that can speak into your life when you're filled with fear. And He can speak so loudly that you will think His presence is there physically. I was sitting in my office studying one day, and I had some things diagnosed about me that was frightening to me. Scared me and Wanda both. And they had sent me off. They were sending me off for some tests. And I remember reading, God just led me to Psalms 103. And I began to read Psalms 103. And I got to verse 3. And I read that verse. Someone spoke to me and said, hold on to that verse and I will show you something. Said it just like that. I looked up, thought somebody was standing in my doorway. I thought, well, somebody's walked by and God had come into church. I come out of my office and walked through the church to see if someone was in here, and they spoke to me when they went by. And then I realized God had just spoke to me, and He's going to show me something. Every morning, at that time we had a big pool and we had a big deck all the way around the pool, and in the mornings I'd step out there about 5 o'clock. And I'd pray that prayer. I'd say, God, I believe you showed me this for a reason. And you said if I'd hold on to this verse, you would show me something. For a couple of weeks, every morning I went out, looked up them stars shining bright, and I prayed that prayer. Well, when I went for my testing, that's been, what, 20, almost 20 years ago, they said, well, Mr. Lee, when I called, they called me and said, Mr. Lee, we've gone through the test. There's nothing at all wrong with you. You are healthy as a horse. I said, well, praise God. I said, God is good. And the nurse said, he sure is, isn't he? God is a God that can speak to you when the fear overtakes you. Because he's not afraid of anything. Everything will bow to him. Sickness, disease, death, and sin will bow before him and say, you are God. That's going to be a glorious day, isn't it? When we won't have to worry about no disease killing people. We won't have to worry about old age killing people. We won't have to worry about something desperately wrong killing people. We can just know that death has been put to rest. God is a God who can speak to us when we're afraid. He is our refuge. God is a place to run to. God is a place to seek cover from. God is one who knows before we even ask him. God knows our need, our will, our power. And he knows that we're just weak, fleshly people that are prone to sin. And he is powerful God. He's our refuge. Psalm 62, 7 says, in God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is God. How many times have we gone somewhere trying to get help and never go to the one who we can hide in? How many times do we look something else? Why is prayer always the last thing we do? And then say, well, I can't do anything else for you but pray. My gracious life, we ought to be saying, hey, listen, there's nothing else I want to do for you but pray. Give it a different picture. Look to it as if God can do something. Don't keep him in that little box, zipped up, locked up, put in the closet. God is our God of refuge. He's a shelter from the most fierce storm we can face. And I don't know of any more fierce storm than death, brought on by sin. Our God has dealt with sin on Calvary's cross. I don't understand that. It just blows my mind. How in the world could a God who is perfect take such a love for those who are imperfect and be willing to send his own son into this world to die for those that are not perfect, so that they might be made perfect and his son might be made sin? What a God. Amen. What a God that is. He's a living God. He's a holy God. He is a blessed God. He is a God who takes us where we can trust him and we can find courage in him. We can find strength in him. And yes, we can face the battle and fight the battle. We don't have to be afraid. God is our warrior. He fights the battle for us. It's neat that we have a God who will march before us. Under the banner of the cross, we can walk knowing that God is going before us. God is our warrior, and he is the one who has the strength to overpower the enemy that we have. And there's a battle every day. I want you to know there's a battle that happens And when we see God do something, you know, I've said before, we see God after he passes. We don't normally see him when he's coming. We see him, he said like the Holy Spirit is. The wind blows, but you don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. God, normally we see him not when he's coming to help. We see him when he's passed by and he's done the help. And we see the results of what God's done. That's what he showed Moses, just the behinder parts, because we could not stand or live to see who he was. Exodus says this, Exodus 14:30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians die upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord, they believed the Lord and his servant. When we see what God can do, it draws us to worship him. It draws us to a place that we can be, where we can have fellowship with him in a real sense of fellowship. We have the ability to take him on and hide within him, and he will defend us. I remember in school, we had a friend of mine. He ended up married one of the sisters. We had a friend in school that was little. He was little, but he had about 90% of his mouth. His mouth sometimes would get tied up in his shoestring, I believe. Had the biggest mouth. He could get in trouble. And every time he got somebody stirred up at him, you know where he ran? He ran to me and Pete. And he'd come in behind us. Hey, you know, guys, all you know what I mean? And what I'm saying about it, we've got somebody we can run to. And we say, look, God, look at this person. Look at this thing. Look at what's happening here. God, will you take care of this for me? Let me hide behind you. Give me a place to hide. And oh, yeah, if he comes, will you defend me? Listen, I want you to know this. When by faith you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you right then defeated the devil. Why do we get tangled up on someone that has no power and authority over us? But we want to run to him, and we want to run with the things that he provides and forget what God can do, and God has delivered us from that enemy. The Bible says, who can separate us from the love of God? And he names everything that you can think of that will not separate us from God's love. God is there for us. He is a God that will defend. Revelation tells us the last defense. Revelation 19:20 says that that beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, which wrought miracles before him, when which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were brought cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. He can defend us. He can protect us. Oh yeah, and he's our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Amen? The wonderful thing about the shepherd is this. I went by a farm yesterday that had sheep. And I looked out there, and those sheep, you know, they were just enjoying the grass. And one of them was down on his, like this right here, like he was just resting while he ate. I thought to myself, what a picture. But the good thing about this shepherd is, now you think about this. If I mess up, if I run astray, if I get away from God, Jesus said, I'll leave the 99. And I'll go search. And I'll go find. And I'll bring you home. Didn't say I'll look for you, and if I find you, I'll bring you home. Said, no, I'll look and find you and bring you home. You know what they had to do a lot of times? Because of the sheep trying to get away from them, they had to break their leg and lay them on their shoulder so they could carry them back in the safety of the fold. Sometimes we have to go through some hard things because we've gone so far, so long, until God has just said, you've run enough. And we think that God won't let anything happen to us, but look at Israel in their disobedience. Believe me, listen, you know why they put a nation of Israel back together after World War II? Because there hadn't been one for hundreds and hundreds of years. God has grabbed his sheep, and he's going to lead them home. He'll do the same for you. He is our shepherd. He's the good shepherd, the Bible says, and he feeds his flock. Jesus said, my sheep know me. They know my voice. They hear me, and they follow me. That's a damnly version of it. I had a professor told me this. He said, the gospel is sheep food. And all you have to do is put the sheep food on your shoulder and walk through the crowd. And you distribute that food as you're going. And his sheep will hear his voice and they will come and eat. The problem is, we don't have the gospel on our shoulder, and we're not spreading it as we go. And we walk sometimes by someone whose life is a mess, and if they just knew that we could share with them one that would deliver them, but they don't know that because we're not showing that. And they might not be delivered because we're not spreading sheep food. Jesus is our good shepherd. He will not lead us. He will not fail us. He will be with us to the very end. The Bible shows him as the door, setting at the sheep gate, so no dangers can come in and no sheep can get out. You're blessed. Bah, bah. That's what we need to do every now and then, just bah, yeah. God is our shield. Genesis 15:1 said, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That word is megalon. A shield that the soldiers used, they had two different shields. One was a smaller one that would defend the body in hand-to-hand combat, a buckler. And they had one shield that was a huge shield. And they would come together tightly in a crowd, and those in the front line would take their shields and they would hold it in front of them. And the ones behind that line would take them up over their head and they would shield themselves overhead, so when the enemy shot the arrows at them, they would be reflected off of it and not hit any of the soldiers. And they fought and they run forward and their shield was over them. That's a beautiful picture of what God's done for us. God covers us with his hand. God covers us with his shield. For the Lord will bless the righteousness, and with favor will he compass him with his shield. Isn't it good to know that whatever the devil throws at us, we can have it reflected or deflected, excuse me? All we have to do is put on that armor of God. Hold that armor of God up, and he will cover us with his hand, and no enemy can, listen to me, no enemy can penetrate. I want us to know that we can live lives that's not defeated. We can live lives that has strength. We can live lives that has power. We can live lives that is protected. We can live lives that are positive. We can live lives that are possible. God is a God that takes care of His own. He shields us with His hand. Praise God that He does that. And next time the enemy comes, hold the shield. What happens is we don't put on the armor enough. But the Bible says put on the whole armor, God. Put the whole thing on. Don't just play around, because the enemy is, listen, the enemy is going to fire some fiery darts at you, and unless you are prepared, and unless you are equipped, and unless you are covered, you can be harmed. So, put on that whole armor. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Listen to this one. 6:12, Ephesians. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are fighting a battle. It might look like a man, but it's not a man. Oh, it's a flesh and blood man. He's a human, but he is being powered by the enemy. Who can say? And we're talking about a power. Listen to me. The spiritual world that we are surrounded with, I want us to know this. It is active. And I don't know, if God was to open our eyes, we might see a lot of fiery angels swinging a sword, defending you this morning while you sit right here, but to keep the spiritual world away from us. We've got no idea what's going on. Matter of fact, if we knew what was going on, we'd probably pass out. But God is our great God. And God is our Redeemer. What in the world is a Redeemer? Psalms 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. A kinsman redeemer was someone when a family member was alone. And when I say family member, I'm talking about the widespread, not just the home. But when a kinsman, someone close kin, was in dire need, they could have a kinsman redeemer come. And that kinsman redeemer would come in, and he would identify himself as blood kin, because he had to be blood kin to redeem them. God took the Shekinah glory robe off. He was called the Word in the glory. And he took all that Shekinah glory off, all the praise that was around the throne, and thinking that it was nothing to hold on to, because bearing the cross was something that would be glorious. The end result, and he stepped out, and he became a brother to humanity. He became a father to humanity. He became an uncle to you. He became a full-fledged redeemer for us, because he had taken on the robe of man. And he has come, and his redemption is sure. It's great, it's loving, and it is permanent. He's taken his blood. See, they had to be able to afford to take on that person as a redeemer, as a kinsman. They had to be able to supply the need. They had to have enough property they could take care of them properly. Well, we needed someone that could do the same thing. And our Redeemer is the majesty of God. Let me read this to you, if you would. It's a song by Nicole Mullins. I guess you guys probably know who she is. A contemporary type singer. Here's the word she wrote. I wish I could sing it for you, but I can't. It would ruin even the reading of it. She wrote this song. Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? Who told the ocean you can only come this far? That'll make you emotional right there. Who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words can catch a falling star? I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All creation testify. This life within me cries, I know my Redeemer lives. The very God that spun things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak. And the same gentle hand that holds me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All creation testify. The life within me cries. I know my Redeemer lives. Now that's powerful. If we just had that connection that we need. It takes faith, it takes study, it takes work. Listen, we don't go about our daily businesses. I mean, if whatever you do for a living, you don't sit at home to do that, do you? You have to be trained. When I was out there, when I was with Keebler Company, I had to go to Chicago a number of times for training. Go up there to school. I go up to school, live high around the cookie tree. It was fun. But every job I've ever had, I had to be trained. I had to learn. This job right here, it's a lifetime of learning. You never stop learning. You never stop studying. That's all we do. But yet it takes that. It takes prayer. It takes commitment. But God is our Redeemer. He's also our fountain. Remember that lady that was sitting by the well? And she was just talking about how it was that you were supposed to worship. Jesus said, well, the day's coming when you'll worship in spirit and truth. You won't worry about whether it's Jerusalem or the mountain. And Jesus said, if you knew who you're talking to, you would ask me to give you drink. See, Jesus said, would you give me drink? And that was a Jew speaking to a Samaritan, which hated each other. Aren't you glad that Jesus can control that and take prejudices out of your heart to where you can love everyone because they're all in the image of God? Isn't that wonderful how God can do that? But see, she said, do you want drink? Jesus said, I can give you drink that you'll never thirst again for. You drink of this drink that I can give you, and you'll never thirst again. He wasn't talking about the thirst of the body. He's talking about the thirst of the soul. But see, the only one that can really help us is God. Psalms 28:6 says, Yahweh is said to be the fountain of Israel. He's our supply. And it never, ever runs out. Now listen, people do run everywhere. People are thirsty today and they want truth. Although they don't know what truth is. And they can't even identify truth because truth today to them might be different tomorrow. That it's changing all the time. It's whatever's relevant to you. But listen, So they're looking truth and they're searching everywhere but the right place to find it. Because truth is a person. And his name is Jesus. He said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. I'm the one to come to. I'm truth. That just simply is telling me that you know, no matter what happens, I can depend on him. Because what he has said will never, ever change. Some things will change, but not his word. Man will change. This world will change. But not him. The Bible says, forever is his word hid in heaven. That's why I say, bring your Bibles with you. Bring it, because his word is settled forever in heaven. It's not changing. I don't care what some say. It's not evolving into something new and bright whenever things change. God's word was settled before the foundation of the world. So, he is our hiding place. I remember this, and I'm going to hurry up. My daddy told me this story. You guys know that when you're in boot camp, you make some friends that are your friends all your life because you're building camaraderie with each other. My dad was in both the World War II and Korean. He served during those times. He had made a friend in boot camp. His name was Spinks. Was his last name. You know, yeah, you call everybody by the last name. So his name was Spinks. I still remember that. My daddy never forgot this guy's name. They had become extremely good friends in boot camp. And they were young. Daddy was 18 years old when they drafted him into World War II. And he said that they had made a pact with one another that if when they got there, if one of them got killed, they would hide the other one so the Germans wouldn't take them and make a mockery of them. Daddy said when they hit the land there at the beaches in France, he said they fought their way onto the land from the troop carrier. He said, in time they hit the water to come out, Spinks was shot and killed. Daddy said the battle was, it was horrifying. The battle raged, but they finally made their way and defeated the enemy at the beach and made their way on into land. Daddy landed in France and marched all the way into Germany. But he said their first night, they were moving their way through. They just got out of a horrible battle, and they were moving on inland some. And said there was a German tank division. So they could hear him speaking. They could hear him talking. And Daddy said that there was a huge culvert where the road passed over. And he said that we all got in that culvert and sat there quiet. He said, you could hear the tanks rolling over us. You could hear the Germans talking to one another. I said, Daddy, were you afraid? He said, son, yeah, I was afraid. He said, the war was nothing that you wouldn't be afraid of. Somebody trying to kill you. But he said, we found that culvert. And we were quiet as we could be. And the tank division rolled over top of us. We could have reached out and touched one of them's foot, the soldiers that were walking along beside the tanks. So we could have touched his foot. But that culvert kept us covered and kept us hid. Listen, God is our hiding place. He is our culvert. When the enemy comes, he is our place of safety. He is our rescue. He is our hope of the future. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, there's something that we're going to go through. And the last point is this. He's our husbandman. That word just simply means he's a caretaker of the land. He tells us that he is the vine dresser. And what he wants out of that vine is this. He wants the most fruit produced that is possible. And he will trim, and he will cut, and he will tend for the vine, so that you and I, that's who we are. We are the branches that attach to the vine, and we've got to have something to supply the nutriment for it. And he is it. But sometimes he trims us and changes us and tucks us here, tucks us there, takes away some things so that we might produce even more fruit. Because what God wants us to do is fruit bear. Now, there's some things that he's handles himself. There's some things that we have to do. All right? What we have to do is to be obedient. Jesus said, "My people know my name, they follow me." So here, in the sense of God taking care of us and trimming us where we can be good fruit bearers, is not always easy. I know if you trim up a grapevine too early, it'll bleed to death. You've got to know what you're doing. You just don't get out there with a weed whacker and go to beating on the grapevine. I remember one of his daddy had a big grapevine in his backyard, and you didn't cut around that thing and do some damage, because the things would bleed to death. But God can trim us. We don't bleed to death. He keeps us so that he might develop us into fruit bearers. And what we need to do, we don't have no fruit in us, but we have the Holy Spirit living in us, who abounds in fruit for us. And the Holy Spirit can produce in us things that we couldn't even imagine, things that you never thought was possible. You can achieve such things because the Holy Spirit of God dwells in every believer. The image of God is so massive, so great, so mighty. He is worthy of praise. And I know this is just a drop in the bucket. This is just the edge of anything. Because God is hard to describe when he's the most beautiful, magnificent, holy, glorious. How do you identify God? And how do you draw a picture of him? It's all around us. This morning, listen. If you have an image of God that he's up there like that little boy said, just looking to see if you're having fun and trying to stop the fun, God has set things in place so that we might enjoy life, have an abundant life. So he has set things in place. So if you're thinking God is sitting there with a fly swatter swatting you, I just had a thought. Now, this is crazy, and I'm going to stop on this one because I'm about to get crazy, I think. I don't see God as a fly swatter in his hand. I see him with pom-poms. Give me a D. Give me an A. Give me an M. Give me an O. Give me an N. What do you got? Damon. Give me an S. Give me A. Give me a V. Give me a D. E.D. What do you got? Saved. He is our cheerleader for us. Now, I'd rather see him with pom-poms in his hand than the fly swat. Because he is a God who loves us. If you see him as a fearful God because of his holiness, stop just a second and think of the beauty of his grace. Let's pray.